This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Recreational marijuana has been legal in Colorado for about a month now. Well, sort of. There's still no place to buy it legally. So anyone who doesn't want to grow pot themselves is going to have to wait about a year for retail shops. That's because state and local officials have to figure out regulations for this new industry first. Governor John Hickenlooper assembled a task force to help with this, and its members meet for the second time on Monday. Colorado Public Radio's Ben Marcus is following this story. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ryan.
What exactly is the governor's task force working on?
Everything. Everything from keeping pot out of the hands of kids. You have to be 21 or over to buy or sell marijuana in the state of Colorado under Amendment 64. They're also going to try to deal with a lack of banking services. As we've covered here on Colorado Public Radio before, marijuana shops, medical marijuana shops, because marijuana is against federal law, can't get traditional bank accounts. So they can't get traditional loans. They can't have checking accounts and things like that. So banking is a big issue. They also need to write and recommend new regulations for these pot businesses. And that's everything from preventing smuggling to other states. And that has to do with tracking. How do you track from seed to sale that stuff isn't making its way to Nebraska or Kansas? They also need to deal with, you know, how much money there is to regulate the industry. That's been one of the problems with medical marijuana, is there isn't enough money to fund the inspectors and the inspections to keep these systems airtight. Another big issue is who can buy marijuana. Will it be people from Kansas or Nebraska? Can they come into Colorado and buy marijuana if they're over 21? Or will it be restricted to people who live, reside in the state of Colorado?
This is a lot to tackle.
Yeah, there's even a professional facilitator who runs these task force meetings. And, you know, he obviously has a lot of experience with these kinds of things. And even he said that it seemed like a lot of work to do.
Ben, you mentioned there the state or localities, for that matter, not having enough money for enforcement. Is there a lack of money for enforcement for medical marijuana now? I mean, are we seeing that bear out already?
Yeah, the Medical Marijuana Enforcement Division under the Department of Revenue regulates the industry, and they started off with a lot more employees than they have right now. And they were expecting license fees to come in to help pay for those inspectors. But because of a moratorium on licenses, those fees didn't come in, and so they've had to reassign inspectors to other divisions like alcohol and gambling.
Well, when I hear that, I think, gosh, does that mean enforcement is lacking and are things going wrong?
Well, the regulators will tell you that enforcement works and that the laws that are on the books for medical marijuana are solid. But if you don't have inspectors, then you can't follow the chain of the marijuana. And that was how they sold this 2 years ago when they set up this Medical Marijuana Enforcement Division, was that we would track weed from seed to sale. But if you don't have inspectors regularly going out and checking on these businesses and making sure that their paperwork is all in order, then you don't really know.
So if it's being diverted or...
Exactly. And law enforcement has raised this as a big issue because a report recently out by a high-intensity drug task force found that marijuana from Colorado, medical marijuana, was found in 24 other states.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and Ben Marcus has been covering both medical marijuana and now recreational marijuana for Colorado Public Radio, and he's joining us to talk about all of the questions that are ahead when it comes to recreational pot, which voters legalized with Amendment 64. Can the regulations that are in place now for medical marijuana be applied to recreational marijuana? In other words, is there a head start already?
There is a head start. A lot of the regulations for medical marijuana at the Department of Revenue level, so there's two agencies in the state that regulate medical marijuana. One is the Department of Public Health and Environment. They maintain the registry list where patients are listed.
Red cards?
Yes, exactly. And so then the other state agency that regulates marijuana, like we said, was the Department of Revenue. And they have experience in this kind of thing. They regulate things like gambling, liquor, they regulate cigarettes, things like that. And so a lot of the rules in the Department of Revenue are not medical specific. They have nothing to do with patients, really. There are rules for background checks for employees. You can't have minors working on site. You can't be diverting marijuana. You can't sell to minors in these shops. So the Medical Marijuana Enforcement Division then has a lot of experience with these regulations, and they think that they work. A lot of it can be copied over now. some things that were devised, you know, like any public policy, nothing is perfect. And when they built this system about 2 years ago, they vertically integrated the grow operation where you grow the marijuana and the retail shop. So if you're a retail shop, you have to grow 70% of your own product. You have to own the grow and the retail together. And some people have said that doesn't really make sense to do that. It's not good economics to say you have to be good retailers and good growers at the same time. It's two very different skill sets. But the government felt that it would be easier to regulate them if they were connected.
So I suppose a big question going forward is, will recreational pot shops have to grow their own stuff?
That's exactly
to be determined.
Right. That's exactly right.
Okay. What about standards for driving under the influence? This has been a contentious issue in the past. The legislature has failed to pass any laws on this. They're going to tackle it again, I guess, this session.
They are, and it's something the task force is looking at as well. And the big problem all along with marijuana and driving under the influence is how much marijuana in your bloodstream makes you impaired to drive.
And is that the same for every person?
That's exactly right. And when you talk to people who know marijuana really well, it affects everybody differently. They need to take different doses of different strains. And so it's really hard to nail down, like alcohol, how many drinks per hour equals somebody who's impaired. And so a number they've come up with is 5 nanograms of THC, the psychoactive chemical in marijuana, in your bloodstream. If you're caught with that, something of 5 nanograms or more, that then you would be impaired. But people have tested themselves days after smoking marijuana and tested much higher than 5 nanograms, but still sober and okay to drive. So it's something to do with how THC stores in your fat cells. It's very different than alcohol.
The governor, who was originally opposed to the legalization of recreational pot, has made it clear that this task force must come up with ways to protect children. Any proposals shaping up?
Yeah, so it seems to be shaping up a little bit as a twofold thing. As a one is that you're obviously not allowed to buy marijuana or smoke marijuana if you're under the age of 21. So that means there needs to be good enforcement, like there is for bars and restaurants and liquor stores. You know, you can't sell unless there's an ID. And what the enforcement division does for liquor is they send undercover agents in to make sure that you're not selling to people under the age. So something like that is going to have to be set up for recreational marijuana. The other side of it is, when you increase access to everyone over the age of 21 for marijuana, more kids are going to end up smoking marijuana. You just can't avoid that. It's just going to become more readily available in the cities that have marijuana.
So it's certainly more visible.
It's more visible. There's just going to be more marijuana out there. So it's likely there will be more kids smoking marijuana, which means you have to deal with the fallout of that. There needs to be some kind of educational campaign so that kids are aware that marijuana is not healthy. There's a research to show that kids think it is, that it's okay to do. And I've talked to kids outside of high schools, and they tell me that they get good grades, they get A's from smoking marijuana, that there's no harmful effects to it. But research shows that their IQ can drop by 8 points, that they can have mental health problems later in life for heavy use in adolescence. And there also needs to be a treatment component to that as well, is that treatment programs around the state are going to need to be sufficiently funded so that kids who do get tangled with this new, much more potent marijuana can get the help they need.
What do you mean when you say that it's more potent?
So in drug seizures done in California and even Colorado that have been tested, they've tested the marijuana that they've seized, and it's medical marijuana mostly. They've seen the THC content is much higher. And there's some thought that maybe that makes the drug more addictive, more dangerous for children.
Well, so many dimensions to this, but not a lot of time to figure it out, Ben.
No, the time frame is ridiculously short. The task force has to have recommendations on all these different things by the end of February. The legislature then has to set up a framework for rules and regulations by the end of the session, which is in May. And then local governments have to start accepting applications by October, which means 90 days after that is when they have to open their doors, so we could see pot shops opening in January.
Meanwhile, in the background is the federal government, and the big question is how they will treat this new industry.
It's the elephant in the room in these task force meetings, is that, you know, there's all this work is happening now to devise a system that they don't know if the federal government will come in and shut down or not. Now, President Obama came out and said that the federal government wouldn't arrest individuals who are smoking marijuana, that that's not a good use of federal resources. But he didn't say anything about the retail model that Colorado is currently devising.
There's not, for instance, a federal person on this task force. They didn't say, hey, Washington, come and be a part of this?
No, there isn't. And I think the governor's office seems to think that they will get some sign from the federal government while the task force is doing its work. But others that I've talked to, former U.S. attorneys here in Colorado, one that was appointed by George W. Bush, said that it's not likely the federal government will tip its hand.
Very quickly, Ben, people may have read about a pot den that quickly opened and then closed. How is this different from the businesses you're talking about being a year away?
Now, there could be – the task force could come up with some kind of smoking den business model that would be acceptable. That has yet to be determined. It's not forbidden in Amendment 64. It's not specifically spelled out in Amendment 64. So it's something that regulators are going to have to decide if that – do they want that. Now, these shops that popped up recently are saying, look, we're private entities. And right now you can smoke marijuana in the state of Colorado in private. They're not selling it there. You can't sell it yet. You have to wait a year to be able to sell it. So you, I guess you bring your own marijuana to the club. It's a private club by membership or invitation only. And so there were two clubs. There's one in downtown Denver, and that was on New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve night and New Year's was a big party. That didn't seem to have any problems. Now, there was another club in Del Norte, which is outside Alamosa in southern Colorado. They did have problems because the landlord found out that they were doing this and then just kind of shut it down.
Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome, Ryan.
We're going to be hearing a lot more from you.
Without a doubt.
Okay. Ben Marcus is leading CPR's news coverage of marijuana legalization, and you can listen to several of his stories about Amendment 64 and the future of pot in Colorado at CPR.org.